This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. Appreciate all the comments coming in via social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 92.9, as we talk about our Hawks back in action tonight against the Celtics. Lots of guys talking about Tiger Woods as well, Mike. As we said, I just don't have any expectations. We know he's recovering. The good news is, again, even though they're describing this as significant leg injuries, and we've talked about the surgeries that he's gone through here over the last 24 hours, the fact that he's awake and, you know, all these things, there's a lot of positives. But what we know Tiger for, which is golf and winning majors and dominating and all the things that have made him special, I just don't know if we're gonna see that again. And this is completely different than the private life issues that he went through that he was able to overcome. You're talking about physical issues that will affect his game potentially. And again, don't know to what extent, but so many guys are saying, yeah, man, I agree with you guys. Just hope this dude's able to walk and do the normal things right that we all kind of take for granted, you know, at 45 or 50 or 55 or whatever it is. When you start talking about wanting to play golf with Charlie, you know, his son, and wanting to experience things with his son, I don't know how this limits him physically, Mike, and I hope it doesn't, but there's just so many unknowns. So we appreciate all the comments that are coming in.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yesterday I was trying to establish, and I couldn't get any – nobody could. Nobody in the media could, because they were playing it close to the vest, was just how long the surgery took – how long it took to get what they needed to do done. And it was an extensive surgery. And as you said, guys, I mean, it's major damage in the crash. Just the wear and tear on your body where the guy – again, here's a guy that is just removed from back surgery just at the end of last year. Hoping to get it together, Carl. Couldn't really swing the club. Couldn't hit like the big sticks to get ready for the Masters just yet. And then you throw in, you know, however many times he flipped over in that SUV. I mean, it's just awful. Then you throw in, you know, a nuts and bolts and a rod in your leg and everything else that comes with it. So, like I said, I immediately you see these idiots on social media. I wonder if Tiger can make it back maybe for the Tour Championship. Well, again, let's let the guy – I mean, and the other thing is, you know
– that would be a miracle, by the way.
And by the way, I don't ever eliminate any chance that Tiger can get back out there. I would never do that. I mean, how many guys out there? Stephen A., put your hand up. He'll never win again. Kellerman, all these guys. Skip Bayless is the world. You and I always kept the faith that this guy could get back somehow and win a major, and we were rewarded, and as was the golfing world, you know, off the heels of winning the Tour Championship to win the Masters. So, I mean, he's already made an amazing comeback. Ben Hogan was younger, though, guys, when he had the catastrophic injuries that he suffered in 1949 in a head-on collision. But Ben, like I said, if ever there's a guy who was ruthless in his prime, a guy that was could totally, now we use the phrase compartmentalize the pain, it was Ben Hogan. That's the same way we think about Tiger Woods. But still, he already was dealing with a lot of stuff on his plate physically before this.
You can chime in, 404-741-0929. Again, it's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And we'd love to hear from you guys about that, as well as anything else that's on your mind. You want to talk about the Hawks? You're more than welcome. So many good comments coming in about what's going on with this team and why we're not able to win the games we should, like last night against Cleveland. Hey, coming up, we'll talk some Braves. Bullpen is a concern. I won't say an issue because they haven't played a game. Mm-hmm. It may be, but it is a concern. We'll talk about that coming up and what Dave O'Brien had to say about what this rotation is going to look like coming out of the bullpen. Right now, let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. All right, Mike, the Steelers president Art Rooney says, he released a statement, by the way, Tuesday. They had a meeting with Ben Roethlisberger, and it looks like Big Ben's going to return for 2021, but he's not returning with that $41 million cap number, is he?
No, the big number was, I mean, the number is huge. Can you get him to pay? For, I mean, is $19 going to be enough?
Ooh.
I mean, there's money he's got to, I mean, there's all sorts of issues. They've got to clear cap space. We talked about that, let alone if they want to get a guy like J.J. Watt to come join his brother on that defensive line. But first things first, Ben's got to take less. It seems like right now Ben is amenable. Everything I was reading up there in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sounded like they had a good heart-to-heart. He says there's a fire that's burning and all those cliches, plenty of gas left in the tank, yada, yada. But I just think as a competitor, bro, like whatever you think of Ben, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, his life off the field, I get guys every time we mention Big Ben, why are you pulling for Big Ben? I don't know, bro. I mean, I don't know the guy. I know he was a complete idiot. I think he maybe turned his life around. Regardless, does he have one more run left in him, Carl? Because the Steelers were the best team in football for 11 weeks, and then the wheels fell off.
I know. Are they better with Ben than without him? Yeah, because I don't think they have the next answer at quarterback.
But the defensive injuries killed them, too, and the running game disappeared. So it's more than just him. But, yeah, they're not getting there with anybody else not named Big Ben right now.
So we'll see how that's going to turn out. And I think it'll fix itself, to Mike's point. You know, the money will work out. They'll do what they need to do. The big thing was, do you want to come back and understand if you do, it's going to be for less? Now, speaking of coming back, why hasn't Drew Brees announced his retirement, Mike?
Good question. Because he's got $25 million coming his way?
I don't know. It's really weird, and I say this because at the end of that game with the Buccaneers guys in the playoffs, right, you remember Brady and he's on the field and all that stuff, and I think Brees' kids were on the field, and everybody just, you know, it was one of those feel-good moments where, yeah, you didn't win a Super Bowl again. You've got one. Brees, you're going to Hall of Fame. But this is it. Mm-hmm. But he's yet to tell the Saints that he is done. So is he contemplating? You think he's still thinking about coming back and playing for the Saints? If he did, by the way, his base salary would be like $1 million.
Yeah, the yearly cash total is $26 million. The dead cap hit is $22.6 million, by the way, for Drew Brees. So if they are going to move on, they're going to have to do one. It might not, Carl. Maybe they work out he retires as a Saint, and they will split that cap hit over 2 years. But the Saints are dead in the water with the cap themselves.
I know.
So I have no idea.
Yeah, it's just one of those things we're keeping an eye on. Now, let me ask you this. Selfishly, as a Falcon fan, you want to see Brees back? Mike, he looked limited last year.
Yeah, I mean, Jameis Winston throws the touchdown in that game we talked about. His last game, he looked better throwing to his kids after the game. You know, we talked about that. I mean, Tom Brady came out. It sure sounded like it had a sense of permanence, right? If Tom Brady comes over and is throwing a pass to your kid and everybody's saying, wishing you well. I mean, I don't think he's got the arm strength. He did, of course, have the thumb injury, so he couldn't really do what he needed to do. But still, we've seen that arm strength and his game decrease year after year incrementally, haven't we?
Yeah. So let's just say he comes back. I don't think he's a starter.
Taysom Hill?
Yes. Yeah. He becomes.
Is he going to get some accuracy in the offseason? He's going to have like
Brees wants to come back and be the starter. But, Mike, Mickey Loomis has said he can come back, but he's got to understand he's only going to make $1 million. That's all we got.
Yeah, I just don't know where this is going unless, as I said, there's going to be – I mean, they're not going to do some kind of, like, grab-ass, like, situation with John Elway. I've used that a few times. Remember John Elway? The year that we got beat by the Broncos in the Super Bowl, they literally had Elway at that stage of his career on a pitch
Brewster?
Count. Bubby Brister was the guy. You're right. And so, basically, they just kind of kept John on ice and had him ready for a playoff run. I don't think you could do that because Drew Brees has shown he can't win the playoff games you need him to anymore.
Yeah, I just think it's one of those things, guys. It's in our division. No decision's been made yet. If he says he's retiring, then it's what everybody thought, and then they'll save $24 million. But if he says, I'm not ready to give it up yet, it is going to call a decision. Because then the Saints can say, okay, great, but we're going to cut you.
Right. Meanwhile, in the division, Rich Eisen had the general manager of the Bucks, Jason Light, on his show, and they asked him about an extension for Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady's going to be like George Blanda. He's going to play till he's 50. He said it's a possibility, Light, the general manager, did. Certainly didn't look like he slowed down any this year. Now, the 40 touchdowns in the Super Bowl ring kind of obviously kind of makes that point. Anyway, it appears he really had a good time winning the Super Bowl. Likes the coaches, likes our head coach and ownership. So Brady has said, Carl, to your point earlier about Breeze, make $25 million during the 21 season with a cap hit of $28.3 million, and there's incentives in there as well if they get back to the Super Bowl.
While we're talking about quarterbacks, it's our NFL Blitz segment as we go around the NFL. Arthur Smith, our coach. Chris, play this for us, the potential of looking for quarterback in the draft. This is what our head coach said yesterday.
We'll look for help anywhere, and we'll look to add. So, again, a lot of that plays into the salary cap, who's available, who you can sign, who you can draft. And it's all in play.
So, again, no promises. I think, you know, when we get to camp, will we have a backup quarterback? Yes. Will we have maybe three or four quarterbacks in camp potentially? Yeah, because that's what you do. You'll invite some guys. You'll invite a guy that you think there has who has promise. You'll either draft a guy or you'll bring in a veteran. So I'm not as worried about it maybe as some people. I'm not talking about Matt Ryan's, you know, the guy that's going to take his spot. I'm talking about just depth at the position. And so, you know, it's one of those things, Mike. There are going to be some veteran guys who do get cut who may be interested in coming to back up Matt Ryan, thinking that, you know what, they may have a shot to take over this thing instead of us drafting a quarterback if that doesn't play out.
Yeah, but again, I mean, the typical like rogues gallery of backup quarterbacks. I mean, like, again, I'm fine spending $1.5 million or $2 million, whatever Schaub was making, for, you know, one of those, I mean, again, a Bobby Hoyer. Right, I mean, who you bring? I mean, we'll find a guy. They'll find a baseball hat dude. Hey,
Fitzpatrick.
Well, Fitzmagic might want to make some starter money from somebody. Somebody who doesn't, you know, he's going to wait till that carousel spins round and round, or musical chairs, and somebody's left without a franchise quarterback. Fitz might say, "I'm here." That could be Washington. Could be the Washington football team. Cam Newton is still looking for a job.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, there's guys out there. But we're going to draft a quarterback. And if we don't commit to drafting a quarterback in the beginning, well, then we'll go get Sam Ehlinger. Okay, we'll take him with a 7th-round pick. Right, we'll have somebody in a baseball. Guys are going bananas. And the thing is, let's all knock wood. Everybody in your car, knock wood. Matt has been really durable over his career, where it has never been an issue for us to worry about the backup.
No. Chris says if Fitz goes to the Patriots, by the way, he will have started for every team in the AFC East. That's crazy. Dolphins,
it's true.
Jets.
Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about. Hey, Dez Bryant says he wants to play 2 more years, but he doesn't want to be in Baltimore. What? The Ravens were not expected to bring Dez Bryant back, but he did put out a series of tweets on Tuesday night, basically saying, I have no interest in returning to Baltimore. He's 32 years old, Mike, played 6 games. He did, 6 catches, 47 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Right. How about the Hamilton Tiger catch? You want to play for them?
Well, here's the deal.
Montreal Alouettes?
I love the fact that a guy who was out of the league and was begging for a job now going, I don't want to play with them.
Okay. I mean, but this goes back to what you and I were talking about. First things first, before you sign off on a monster deal for your former MVP and Lamar Jackson, can we get the man some skills?
Some help.
Hollywood Brown is a nice piece, but he's not a number one. I don't care what anybody says. So let's go get this man a real vertical stretch the field talent. So
you know, like Willie Snead.
I mean, honestly, the Ravens are The Ravens are literally like everybody on my fantasy team from, like, you're right, like 2014.
That's right.
You're right.
Hey, man, this is interesting. John Lynch, the general manager for the 49ers, a lot of people think Jimmy Garoppolo, including myself, just because it makes cap sense, is going to get moved. But he says he will be the starter for the 49ers in 2021. Now, we got a lot of offseason to go. We got, you know, again, so much could happen draft night. So much could even happen here in the next few weeks once free agency starts and you start to see what teams are making moves. But I don't know about this one, Mike. He said in a podcast that he has no doubt that Garoppolo will return as a team starter. If Garoppolo stays injury-free, then and that's something he's not managed to do the last 2 seasons or 3 seasons. That's why people are saying it's probably best the 49ers move on. They save the money, and it's not going to hurt them. To me, this was one of those no-brainer moves.
Right.
But now you've got the GM saying he'll be our guy. I don't know. I don't know if this is a bluff or not.
Well, the money, I mean, again, they got to validate the contract if Garoppolo stays injury-free. But as I said, the Super Bowl was so telling. They didn't trust him with timeouts in pocket before the half. He couldn't execute some not impossible plays that would have kept them down the field and maybe won the game for them. And I think if you're – I certainly, in my heart of hearts, Shanahan will take anybody who can do a better job. And there's a lot of guys who can do a better job than Garoppolo. They were definitely in the mix for Tom Brady. They're downplaying it now, but they were totally trying to get Tom Brady to come to San Fran.
You cut him, you save $23 million.
That's what I was talking about.
I mean, then how about this? This goes back to our perfect world where we could have the 49ers trade up to where we select. They find their quarterback, and then we could still maybe find somebody not named Justin Fields a little bit later, or maybe take a quarterback in the second round if you're looking for that, if you got to have that this draft. And load up.
Yeah, that's they could be a viable trade partner. I really believe that. But, yeah, the savings. See, I think there's two parts. One is the part that you just said. How much do they really trust him? Three parts. The injuries, and then we're going to save $23 million. So I think there's a lot at play there to say Garoppolo, I think it's 50-50. I don't know if it's, you know, 89 or 90% that he's going to be back.
Hey. Yeah, man. I love the idea of trading back to San Francisco. Now, again, you can still get the big corner you need. You'd still be in the range, Carl, for a starting corner. You can plug and play and then go do what you want to do with your quarterback in the later rounds.
Hey, man, we got plenty more to get to. Braves are going to enter the season with who closing games? We'll dive into that next. Coming up at 4:20, yesterday, Mike and I had a chance to catch up with our general manager, of the Atlanta Falcons, Terry Fontenot. First time we got a chance to have him on the show, and it'll be hopefully a lot more opportunities as we move forward, and not only through the offseason, but as we get through the season as well, and things continue to change with our team. But we had a really good conversation with Terry. You guys will hear that again at 4:20 for those who missed it. And one of the things he did address was, you know, how he views this fourth overall pick. There's still a lot of questions, Mike, as to how to approach this thing. And you know, nobody's saying, at least from the Falcons organization, and I don't think they should, you know, for sure, we're going quarterback. We're not going to tell you which one, but we're going quarterback or we're going running back. They've not pinpointed a specific position and put themselves in a corner.
No, as we said, no reason to. And again, keep your options open for potential trades. We just talked about the 49ers. There's a lot of people, guys. You could argue if the board starts to move a little funky, if the Jets really kind of hold all the cards. If they go quarterback, then other teams may scramble to get up to where we are because they really are dead set on somebody where we might not have to be dead set on a quarterback this time around. I know we've had this conversation a million times. By the way, we did the NFL Blitz. One thing I didn't get into, I just saw this during the commercial break from our buddy Rick Stroud down in Tampa Bay. Bruce Arians tells him, Carl, that there's a number of guys willing to restructure to give more money, get more money for the team under the cap. Not that they're taking less money, just helping out. And I got to be honest with you, if you're coming off a Super Bowl win, you've got all this nucleus pretty much in place. If you could keep five of your six free agents, what Buccaneers fan wouldn't take salary cap hell in 2 or 3 years to make a run for another championship with Tom Brady?
No doubt. You do it.
Period.
Mike,
end
you,
of
you
story.
It.
Right, exactly.
It. Yeah, if you can run the table, let's just say 2 out of the next 3 years, you do it. So, yeah, I'm with you, man.
I mean, there's a means to an end there where we've got the salary cap hell without the ring. They've already got a ring, and they've got a bunch of guys that want to stay together because they love playing with the GOAT.
Yeah, I think that to me is a no-brainer. You're absolutely right. Hey, second half of the schedule's been released, by the way. We'll take a look at that as well for the Hawks. Let's talk Braves here because one of the things that is, as I said, not an issue, maybe a concern, is what are we doing with our closer? Who's going to be finishing these games, at least to start the season? It may be somebody different by the end of the season. Who knows how this thing plays out? But it was Mark Melancon. We handed the ball to him over the last couple of seasons. He was really good. Now he's in San Diego. We asked Dave O'Brien from The Athletic, who covers the Braves on a daily basis, that question. Here's what he said.
Right now, it's going to be Will Smith as the primary guy, I think. They also tried to get Trevor Rosenthal, but he ended up getting that deal with Oakland. That's a lot of deferred money on it. The Braves wanted to do a 2-year backloaded deal with him, and it wasn't as good as the offer that Oakland made him. So they tried to get Rosenthal, and he would have been the closer. But they're not going to have any hesitation to make Will Smith the closer, even though he gave up a ton of home runs last year. This guy was an all-star the year before that with San Francisco when he was the primary closer. And when he didn't miss summer camp due to, you know, COVID. So, but the good thing is, if he were to struggle and it was just he just didn't have it again coming out of the gate and gave up a home run in each of his first 3 appearances or something, they do have other options. You know, they've got Matzik, they've got Chris Martin could easily close, especially if the matchups were right. But that guy's, you know, he was all but unhittable for most of the last season. And Minter, you know, Minter last year really took huge strides. Now, is he going to repeat that? I don't know, but he looked great last year, and he pitched great in the postseason as well. Who's going to forget that three-inning start that he made at the end against the Dodgers? So those are just options. They got four really good relievers. They're not as deep as they were last year, but they got four really good ones. And Jacob Webb could be ready to step up and be a really good one, too, and be a setup guy if he's healthy. And his numbers are filthy. I mean, he hasn't pitched much in the majors, but he was having a great rookie season 2 years ago before he strained his shoulder. Came back last year, looked really good again. So that's a guy that's got great stuff. He could be a fifth guy, another primary setup guy. But I think they're probably going to go with what they've got. You know, with the money they have left over and the limited guys that are out there, but they could definitely make a trade in season if they need a reliever, if it's obvious that they need it. They'll be able to do that. They got the prospects to do it, and they've got enough put aside to add a salary during the season if they need to.
So lots of options. Which one do you trust?
Will Smith has had the experience as a closer. Could he be our next Melanson? Remember, he had COVID and kind of got behind the eight ball. Remember, then he had was banged up, and we finally, he's throwing the ball in the outfield. We finally got to see him out there. He's the guy, though, I kind of like as a prototypical. We got a couple of big guys, you know, but Will Smith, 6'5", 250 coming out. You know, I kind of like that idea.
I do, too. And Minter, he's right. Remember, I mean, if you go back a couple of seasons ago, we used to joke when Game of Thrones was hot, and we were talking about, you know, Minter is coming out of the bullpen, and it never caught its stride. So I don't know, Mike. I think you go with experience to start the season. Will Smith is going to be the guy. I'm fine with that.
He's got 49 saves in his career.
Yeah, let's see where that goes, and then God forbid if it's not working. Okay, well he just gave you Dave O'Brien. That is. Four other guys, potentially five other guys that could fill that role. And Mike, I don't like this. I like to go to one guy. We've talked about this. I like to have a system.
By committee, I'm with you.
Yeah. So, do you like that idea though? On any given night, you're going with another guy.
I mean, Jacob Webb at some point could potentially be that guy. But I still would rather see Will Smith. Melanson kind of won it by default, right? 2 years ago,
he did.
So, because everyone else we picked up couldn't do the job, so he kind of, you know, he wound up being the guy. So, yeah, let's hope that in this case, with a full season, with a full spring training, without COVID, knock wood, that Will Smith will be our guy. And if not, then our Alex will have to go out and find somebody at the deadline.
Yeah. So, it's again, guys, I say this. It's not a worry or any of that, because we've not played any games. We've not blown any saves. There will be blown saves during the season. We just don't want a bunch of them. And we don't want to have our team in position to win, you know, late games. There's so many of these one-run games that you're in. And, Mike, these high
leverage situations.
Yes, we laugh because everybody uses that phrase now. Uh-huh. But, yeah, so there's a bunch of that going on. And then, you know, if your bullpen's blowing leads, we know how that feels. We know what that's like. We were there just a few years ago. And then they revamped this thing. So I'm not worried, but it is a concern. And if you were to ask me, okay, how do you feel about the lineup? I love our lineup. How do you feel about our starting pitching? It's better than it was last year at this time. How do you feel about Dansby or any specific guy? I tell you, I feel really good based on the experience all these guys got last year. The one thing is how you're finishing games. And so that's why we wanted to talk about it. And Dave O'Brien answered
that
question.
It was weird in the summer of 19, guys. Remember we picked up Shane Green?
Yeah.
And then he couldn't do the job. Remember, you and I were like, wow, he's leading the American League in saves. I believe he was leading the American League in saves at the time, but you and I were joking around. But it's not a high-leverage situation where you're the Tigers and you're out, you know, you're out of the division already by like 20 games. He came to Atlanta and he spit the bit, you know, as they say in horse racing. He couldn't handle the heat, and that's why Melanson kind of won the job by default that year and then never lost it.
All right, man, what do you guys think? You're comfortable with Will Smith? If you had your opportunity to have somebody else finish these games for us based on guys that are here. This is not fantasy, okay? We're not going, oh, yeah, I want to go get, Mariano Rivera. We're not doing that. Guys that are here, that are in our bullpen, who do you feel the most comfortable with right now, knowing what you know about this team? 404-741-0929. You can text us, hit us up on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. As I mentioned, and we'll talk more about this as the day goes on, second half of the schedule's out. And I just want to mention this about our Hawks because, you know, I'm frustrated. I'm tired of losing the way we've been losing games. But in the second half of the season, and remember, the NBA did this, guys, because they wanted to see how COVID-19 was going to affect the league. And we've gotten pretty much in the first half. I mean, the Hawks have their schedule through March 3rd, which is next week. But now we know what the rest of the schedule is going to look like all the way through the end of May. And, Mike, we've not won a game on the second night of a back-to-back. We play eight back-to-backs in the second half of the season. I'm going to say that again. We have not won a game on the second night of a back-to-back. We play eight back-to-backs in the second half of the season.
We're really going to miss the Andre Hunter, bro.
I know.
I just bro'd you, bro.
I know.
Bro. No, I mean, it's
so I mean, listen, that could change, yeah. But that's who we've been in the first half. So
we are now, what, 2 weeks? Yeah, it's what, the ninth he went out? I'm trying to think when DeAndre Hunter went out. I'm going to say the ninth or tenth. They said 7 to 10 weeks on average.
Yeah, we're talking about April, Mike.
Yeah, and we could be kaput by then if we don't get things rolling.
We're talking about April. And by the
way, who will be the Hawks coach by then?
Here you go. By the way, tonight is the second night of a back-to-back. Okay? We played last night.
Right. Just about, we just let a team snap a 10-game losing streak.
So, and I'm only throwing this number or that statistical thing out there just to say this is who we've been. We've not been able to win these on these second nights of these situations.
I mentioned John Collins. He goes out in the second half. John Collins had a really slow last two games before the Cavs game the other night. Trey had made some – look, if you just looked at Trey's box score, you'd say, oh, that's a nice night. But you needed Trey to have some of those shots. And, again, Capella, the alley-oop that he missed. But Trey missed too many shots. And then, as you said, I turn off the game, switch over to SportsCenter, and there's Luka. Foop. Game blouses, you know, so it's like, oh, come on, man. It's like, it's driving you crazy. It's not all on Lloyd. Players got to make, he can't take the shots, but he can't stop challenging fouls. And he can get our man, Clint Capella, in there when you need a rim protector at the end of the game. That's exactly what the game came down to.
All right, so real quick, I'm just looking at this, and we'll analyze this a little bit more as we get into the Hawks and tonight in the 5 o'clock hour. March is brutal. At the Lakers, and this is on the road. So you're talking about March 20th, 22nd, 24th, 26th, 28th, March 30th. This is the schedule. Lakers, Clippers, Sacramento, Golden State, at Denver, at Phoenix, at San Antonio, all on the road. And this all has to do with, again, you're out there, we're going to keep you out there. It used to be you could literally play L.A., fly back home, and then you might go back out and play the Clippers, you know, in 2 weeks. But because the NBA is doing this scheduling the way this is, March, I'm just letting you guys know, it's brutal. March 20th through like the 30th, that 10-day stretch, Mike, Lakers, Clippers, Sacramento, go back home April 4th against Golden State.
So, sports fans, we're going to have to get our Bogdanovich out there and our Rondo, and eventually Snell will get out there. The thing is, guys, the two arguments, it's been we were never that great in half court before, and now people started to notice that, you know, Lloyd Pierce needs to up his game. Now we add the talent. We've talked about it. Expectations are rising. More people are watching, you know, and it's I just don't know if we've got the horses or are we going to have to just completely look at this, you know, this coaching situation and really say, look, they're not going to fire Travis Schlenk. This is Travis Schlenk's baby. The next guy would be the coach, and then if that doesn't work, then it would be Travis down the road. Because the problem we're having, Carl, is all the things you could argue, when we get healthy, we'll get better, right? We will figure this out. DeAndre Hunter will come back.
Yes.
But there's a lot of fans that are saying we're selling sunshine. We're selling the Brooklyn Bridge here. Nobody's buying it in Atlanta, let alone around the rest of the NBA landscape.
More on the Hawks coming up, guys. Coming up next, though, Mike, we got some guy talk.
Yeah, man, I did something stupid today. I mean, I usually do something stupid every day. Carl's got trouble at home. Another boyfriend on the horizon for his beloved daughter? Let's find out. Yeah. Hey, man, Guy Talk on Dukes and Bell, brought to you by our buddies at Hoots Wings. It's time for Hoots Wings dinner, Carl Dukes. Chicken wings and other things. Takeout and delivery available online at Hoots Wings. 3 locations around Metro Atlanta. Hey, man, ale at all 3. Get your buffalo scrimp, your fried pickles, your gazillion different varieties of wings. And go to town, man. If I sound a little wacky, I'm practicing mood management. I want to get to what's going on in your house, but just real quick, the dumb thing, I'm good for about one or two dumb things a day, as you guys know who listen to the show. But today, as I was heading off to the gym and I'm just taking all my vitamins, and again, you don't get to keep a body that's about, you know, 47% body fat like this without taking a strict regimen of vitamins every day.
Of course.
It's part of my training. But I take my, you know, my multivitamin, my GNC stuff. You know, and then I took, instead of taking two zinc pills, because you want to keep your immune system good, I took two melatonin today.
Oh, yeah. During the day.
Yes. I took I guess 10 milligrams of melatonin. So I'm like, oh. So I went to the gym. I got through it. I ran my errands. And then today, literally around 3, I'm starting to crash. So right now, I got a Red Bull. But of course, you can't just drink Red Bull by itself. So I had to throw in some Stoli. But anyway, so that's what I'm doing right now.
So you're trying to counteract the melatonin.
I've got Red Bull with Stoli with a splash of cranberry. It's very refreshing.
So do you feel mellow? I mean, I've never taken melatonin during the day. I always take it at night. I don't even know if it does it work like that.
I look like my dog. Ike, if you're watching us on, again, our Twitch feed, you'll see over my shoulder, you'll see the dog. His thing he likes to just do face plants, Carl. He just goes, boom, boom. And so he just sacks out. And that's what I feel like right now. He was talking to me during the commercial break. He's like, where's mommy? I want food. But yeah, so anyway, I'm dragging a little bit. What's going on in your world, man?
Well, listen, I told you the woodpecker thing. I guess I got to take a picture of this thing. I just went out there. You know, Michelle's like, did you move this? No, I didn't move it. You put it up. But here's the deal. I just feel disrespected, Mike. Last night, you know, I took my wife and my daughter out. We just went out at a dinner. We hadn't had one in a long time. Mm-hmm. So I said, let's go out. And on my way there, today, my daughter has her first track meet. Okay, track season is here. And so she's on the lasso track team. And so she's about to participate literally in about 15 minutes. Obviously, I'm on the air. I don't get a chance to go check it out. But she started talking about her track coach. And, you know, and she's just going on and on and on about her track coach. This is not about a boyfriend. So, you know, I mean, as a dad, I'm kind of sitting there and I'm like, yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, I understand. But, you know, I was kind of a stud, too. And so I found myself, like, checking my ego going up against this guy. I don't even know who the track coach is. And she says, actually, that he listens to the show, that he knows, So I appreciate it. I'm not going to mention his name. But so she's going on and on and on. And she's like, yeah, she said this comment. She goes, yeah, you know, I just think that he was probably a stud in high school.
Oh, you don't want to hear that.
And so I'm like, I was a stud. Right? And then she hits me with the, yeah, I just don't see you like that. So I'm feeling some kind of way.
Are you telling your Al Bundy resume? About
yes.
The star player?
Exactly. That's who I turned into. I was like, let me go get my letter check in. So, you know, I'm now trying to prove what a stud I was to compare to this track coach that's got her all amped up and got the team all amped up. Now, I hope they do well today. Who knows how they're going to do. But it was one of those guy moments, those dad moments where you're like, I was pretty damn good too. And you want to live up to it, but you know, your kids, and this is what's crazy. I get with Tom Brady and all these guys, when you have young kids and they don't understand what you've done or who you are or all of that. And then they get to an age where they can, like we're talking about Tiger Woods, like Charlie Woods now really knows who his dad is and he knows what he's been, you know, he's accomplished. But for most of us, no matter, you know, what your accomplishments are in life, it's one of those things. Most of your kids don't know. They don't know. You know, they don't know. Even if you own a business and you grind it and now you're successful, your kids don't get that, you know? So when you start talking to them and they're like admiring other people, you kind of want to go, well, what about me? And so last night I found myself doing that. And literally, so today I've been saying all day, yeah, so tell the stud I said hello. Because I was one of those moments, and it just makes me laugh. So if you're a parent or whatever, you guys, you understand what I'm talking about. Maybe you've gone through this, but you're trying to get across to your kids like, hey, that's pretty good. Or, you know, hey, I used to double dutch. I could do some of those things or whatever it might be. So it could be stupid or serious, but the fact is she doesn't see me like that. And I'm like,
you're no longer the number one hero. The track coach is currently on top of the list.
Yes, wow. I'm kind of sad about it. So anyways, that's what I was dealing with, Mike. So I was feeling some kind of way. Should I be feeling some kind of way?
I mean, not having kids, I can understand where you're coming from on that, man. I mean, I've got friends, and I know where they talk about this stuff all the time when you realize that, you know, you become the square parent, you know? I got my buddies up in New York. They try to be the cool parents, you know? Which, I don't know if that's the right idea either, by the way. I think sometimes you got to, you know, you got to lay the law down.
You shouldn't be having cocktails with you, right?
But, I mean, yeah, and it's, you know, it's... You know, I think it was a couple of years ago, my buddy Jimmy, his daughter was like, oh my God, Dad, an iPhone 6, whatever. You know, and he's like, what? You know, so I'm with you there. That's tough. Hey, a couple of things. Speaking of tough, going down today, CNBC reporting, and I saw this in the AJC, apparently today, I hope it doesn't affect our paychecks. That's next week. But the Federal Reserve System that allows banks and other financial institutions to send money back and forth electronically went down for several hours earlier today.
This wasn't a hack or anything, was it?
Well, people are saying no sooner had the presumptive Fed chairman talk about the Bitcoin being not reliable that, you know, in less than 24 hours, they had a problem with the Fed. Operational error, as the Fed described it, impacted multiple services. The big one, though, automated clearinghouse system, which connects depository and related institutions sending electronic credit and debt transfers. In other words, your house payment, all sorts of stuff. So anyway,
you want to get people hot? Start messing with these.
Right on, exactly. Statement from the Treasury, the IRS cuts the checks, those checks. But in this case, this is like, you know, just banking on a daily basis. But anyway, yada, 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 about 11:15, it went south and came back online about 2:45, again, according to CNBC. No further information was available, but account services, central bank, all sorts of stuff was going down. So either, I don't know about that. The Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, spoke to Capitol Hill and talked about the progress central bank has made, yada, 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 and then also talked about Bitcoin. So some people were presuming that since they crapped on Bitcoin, that some nerd, you know, obviously very talented nerd, hacked the Fed.
Okay. This is like, and I won't say my worst nightmare, but don't you feel like somewhere down the line, we just recently, for those who don't know, had one of like the biggest hacks ever that happened in our country. And, you know, it's kind of been downplayed. I mean, people talk about it, but it's been one of those things where this bug got in the system and computers were affected all over in major industries and whatnot. It's like the scariest thing, Mike, to shut down like banking. Seriously.
Right.
Like you wouldn't have access to anything. Right. And that's something that, you know, it plays out in movies, but we're there. Like, that could really happen.
Well, again, last week, over the weekend, I didn't get a chance to tell you the story. I got a text message from one of Becky's friends, and it was like, you believe this? Remember this? And it was like in the instant messenger for Facebook. And from the background, it looked like the lobby from the weekend we were up in Philadelphia for the Falcons playoff game. So I go to open it up. It's a virus.
Then
immediately it starts hitting all my other friends that I'm on instant messenger with. So I literally had to go in manually and unsend message. So, I mean, and that's just, you know, that's just an annoying hack for social media. Could you imagine the kind of level of expertise? There was a thing on Smithsonian about hacking. There was an HBO documentary that was on last year. Blows my mind the stuff they can pull. So, yes, to your point, that identity theft, how many times, I mean, it was one of those things that used to happen every now and again, almost on a yearly basis now. You know, you find that you got a credit card. Did you just order $600 at Home Depot in Birmingham, Alabama? What?
Yeah.
It's to your point. It's super because you feel so you're totally helpless in that situation.
Well, we're vulnerable. I mean, here's the thing. And not that it was necessarily any better. I mean, crooks are crooks. But now with everything digital, you really don't have any control over what's going on.
Right.
You just don't. You assume like, hey, I got my account and nobody's going to be in it and blah, blah, blah. But all this stuff's digital now. And this is not to scare anybody. It's just kind of the world we live in. But, you know, all these safeguards, there's always guys out there. And a lot of these guys work for the government now. But a lot of these guys who are breaking into stuff, Mike, just for fun, you know, coders and decoders and all this. That's what they do. So it's really scary to think at some point that may happen. And it's not just going to be like Chase Bank. It's going to shut down, you know, the country, and then you're going to have a big issue. But I know there are a lot of safeguards and whatnot in the process. But
Cyber Command. Let's hope those cats are on the job.
But right? it really makes you think about it, man, when you hear something like this.
Speaking of the government's thing, we've been talking about, obviously, you know, COVID and how we're trying to get back to normal. When is the normal going to get there? The vaccines.
When is the normal going to get there?
Who knows? I saw this today. Maximum Bob sent this to me. The news from the government economist. Bartending jobs in 10 years will decline by 19%. Hostesses, 24%. Servers, 16%. Believes the industry will have to automate to become more efficient. You're going to be having robot bartenders. Ay, ay, ay. This from the Wall Street Journal. So it's one of those things, Carl, where, you know,
LaGuardia has it, Mike.
I know. We've seen it in Vegas, and it's more of like a tourist thing. But we've talked about trying to support restaurants. A lot of folks, you know, companies having to pivot, and how many companies, even in the service industry, when we get back to whatever the new normal is, will be downsizing some of the employees. That's who really gets hurt in this deal.
That's true.
Hey, sorry, man, that's a bummer. We have more fun stuff in the 540. I got Bruce Springsteen. What happened in the DUI coming up at 5:40.
All right, sounds good, man. What does the LA County Sheriff say about Tiger Woods? Was he impaired? It's something everybody's been wondering. Statements out. We'll let you in on it next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.